Emperor Tales of the Frozen South by C.W.B. and read by Ghost of Naga's Past. Chapter 25, Poropiti, Prophecy. Summary: Sherlock needs John to focus, and Mycroft shares something important about his own shell's prediction.
I cannot believe it, Sherlock. I cannot believe it. We had the tooth, the legendary tooth. We had the power of the gods at our wings.
Ever since they parted ways with Erebus early in the day, John has been perseverating on the brief contact with absolute unmitigated power. Sherlock paces back and forth in front of John, who stands near the shore, flinging ice chips into the water. Wingtips pressed under his bill, Sherlock paces, and he ruminates. Since speaking with Erebus, they have had their lessons, eaten lunch, rejoined the senior council for a group meeting, and been granted some free time. Through all of it, John has been muttering sotto voce about their loss, and Sherlock has been racing through the caves and corridors of his ice palace in an attempt to find a solution to their problem.
"'Tis close! John, please, you must stop looking backwards. What could it possibly show you? Everything! All right, yes, I see how that is very appealing view, but does it help us at all? What do you mean? Obsessing about what could have been, how does that help us now?
John sulks for a bit, then aggressively grooms his shoulder. Sherlock stops his pacing and gently removes John's bill from where it's making a bare spot in his beautiful feathers.
I don't know. I just think, Sherlock, of what we could have done had we known.
Sherlock shakes his head and shrugs his wings.
What would you have done, John Ling, had you known about the tooth, and if the legend is true? What would you have done with that power?
John regards Sherlock for a long, quiet moment. He looks out at the sea, then up at the stars, where two black-browed albatross are circling the swells. They call to each other and dive.
John, look at me. Focus.
John looks away from the sea and back at Sherlock.
What did Erebus say to us this morning? What was the last thing he said?
He said we need to find the tooth before we leave the iceberg.
Yes, good. What else?
That it's significant that Moringa is still here. He thinks she's working with someone and is waiting for them to return. She won't risk doing anything suspicious in front of the senior council, and she won't attempt migrating early, as that will only draw their attention.
Go on.
Once Moringa's in the water, she and the tooth are lost to us.
Sherlock puts his wings on John's shoulders and kisses the top of his head.
That's right. And what does all that mean? It means I hate the penguin piece of Hamuti.
Sherlock giggles, then John giggles. Then Sherlock slips and lands on his back, and John slips and lands on top of Sherlock.
You said Hamuti. But she is. She is. She really, really is the Pooh of Pengs.
They laugh and laugh, and Sherlock feels the tension of the last several days begin to ebb away. They stand up, brush each other off, and refocus their thoughts.
What all that means, John Payne, is that we have to get the tooth back in the next 6.5 days before we start the journey back to Pobeda.
And how are we going to do that?
I don't know yet.
The junior Pengs are enjoying a bit of recreation at the swimming hole after dinner. Lester has invented a game, and all of them, including Sherlock, are taking turns. The rules are simple. Lester throws an ice chip into the water and counts down from 3 to 1. On his count, a Peng jumps into the water, finds and retrieves the ice chip, and resurfaces. The fastest Peng wins. The ice chip, of course, gets smaller and smaller each round, making it harder and harder to play. The last Peng to find the ice chip before it melts away is the first runner-up. Sherlock prepares for his turn, stretching his wings and bouncing on his toes.
Sherpeng, what are you doing? This isn't the Penglympics.
That's no reason not to apply myself, John Ling.
Lester tosses the ice chip, counts down, and Sherlock slips into the sea. The world changes mid-blink. What was bright is now dark. What was loud is now silent. Beneath him, the blue of the water fades to mid-gray, then black. This is his trick. He waits until the ice has sunk low enough to stand out in contrast against the depths, and then he dives. The others, he notices, dive down immediately, wasting oxygen before determining their direction. There, not even two orca depths. He dives, bites down on the chip, twirls upright, and resurfaces.
"How is that even possible?" Lestrade demands. "I just threw it."
"I am a bird of many talents, Lestrade. Ask John."
John titters and fluffs and rubs his bill against Sherlock's, and for a moment Sherlock forgets all about the game. Unfortunately, it's a short-lived moment.
"Sherlock, brother mine, might I have a word?"
"What do you want, Mycroft? I'm busy."
Mycroft rolls his eyes. Truly, Sherlock thinks, he has refined this action to nothing less than an art form. If only they would get stuck while he's doing it.
"Can't a penguin request the company of his brother for no reason other than to commune?"
"Stop! I'll come.
He smirks at John and the other junior pangs, and he and Mycroft take their leave. As they walk away, Sherlock hears Lester count down for Janine.
"Well, then?"
Sherlock asks, turning to check that they are out of earshot.
"You've talked with Erebus."
"Can we not waste each other's time, Mycroft? You already know that Elder Erebus talked to me and John this morning. He overheard John make a throwaway comment about a stolen seal tooth, realized why Moringa must have taken it, and explained everything."
Mycroft stops walking, wings behind his back.
"I see. And what do you intend to do about the tooth now?"
Sherlock steps out of his brother's shadow and glares up at him.
"Me? What do I intend to do? I think, brother mine, that I should be asking you that very question. What do you and the other senior council pangs plan on doing to shake down the thief, get our seal tooth back, and save the entire world from that piece of hamuti?"
Mycroft's eyes go wide at Sherlock's insulting reference to Moringa. He makes a small burping noise and belatedly covers his bill with his wing.
"It's okay, Mycroft. You can laugh. I won't tell anyone."
"I don't know what you're talking about. And this isn't some sort of covert sting operation. No one would be shaking down anyone."
"You think it's just a tooth, don't you?"
"Don't you?"
"I don't know what to think. I've never been a believer. I've always taken the legends at face value, as parables and nothing more. But, Mycroft, I saw the star. I saw it with my own two eyes. I have to admit, it did not appear to be merely an anomaly of pinniped dentition."
"And yet we let it lie untended in a crevasse for moon after moon. Why?"
Sherlock sighs and flaps his wings.
"First of all, it's not a crevasse. It's a proper ice cave. Second of all, we left it there because the star was an interesting oddity on its own, but out of context, nothing more. Now, in light of Te Uto Maiki, it stands to reason the tooth could be indeed something far more important than the missing part of some stupid seal's jaw."
"I remain unconvinced."
"Mycroft, what are the chances of us finding a seal tooth that exactly matches the description of a seal tooth from an ancient legend? And, I might add, one that involves the fate of our kind?"
Mycroft purses his bill and toes at the ice, drawing what are either complicated mathematical figures or his Ananthea's initials inside a heart. Sherlock leans in to take a closer look, but Mycroft wipes his work away with a sweep of his tail feathers.
"I would estimate the odds are in the vicinity of 1 in 10 billion. The odds of it being a coincidence, however, are much lower."
"Ninikara, what have you told me time and time again about coincidences?"
"I see that your study of the ancient language is going rather well."
"My study of everything is going rather well, Mycroft. You would expect no less. But you haven't answered the question about coincidences."
"The universe is rarely so lazy."
Mycroft makes a begrudging gesture with one shoulder and looks Sherlock in the eye.
"Do you remember, Sherlock, Mama's interpretation of your shell, your porobiti?
Sherlock and Mycroft stare at each other, and Sherlock feels an undercurrent of familiar connection run between them.
I do.
Tell me.
You already know.
Tell me anyway.
Sherlock does not look away. He stands tall and pulls his shoulders back, and he meets Mycroft's demand, the way he might meet a call to war, with determination and pride. He owns his prophecy.
I would take a long journey, and I would change the heart of the colony.
Yes, and do you know what mine was almost 8 winters ago?
Sherlock realizes that he has never even considered what Mycroft's shell may have said about him, his future, his path. He shakes his head.
To protect you at all costs. To see to it that my unhatched brother fulfills his destiny.
Mycroft, is a seal tooth part of that journey, Sherlock?
I don't know. How could I know that?
Sherlock, this is important. Close your eyes. Look inside. Is this tooth part of your journey?
Sherlock doesn't know what Mycroft is asking of him. Close his eyes. Look inside. Look at what? Where?
Close your eyes.
Sherlock will never be able to explain why he does what he does next. It happens without thought or intention. He lifts both wings and holds them out to Mycroft. Mycroft appears startled, but then he reaches out too and lays his wings under Sherlock's, supporting them. Sherlock closes his eyes.
He sees it. Yes, Mycroft. Yes, it is.
Then let me ask you again, little brother. What do you intend to do about it?
Notes. Maori translations. Hamuti. Noun. Feces, excrement, poo, dung, droppings, stools.
Ninikara.
Stative. To be foolish, nonsensical, illogical, ridiculous, ludicrous.
Te uto maika.
Ika's revenge.
Porobiti.
Prophecy.